Our scripture lesson this morning is from 5th chapter of James, verses 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take prophets who speak in the name of the Lord. Blessed be this word.
Last week, I nearly lost my voice before I finished the sermon. The scripture is unusually long this morning, so I have recruited an assistant. He may be an elf. I am not sure. Thank you, Bill.
Would you all please stand, as is our custom, for the reading of the gospel? We'll be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 24. In the days of King Herod...
Go through 25.
Okay. Error. We'll go all the way through 25.
Please.
In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by his section by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me, when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We've been moving
into Advent, I guess it dawned on me yesterday that I have not been hearing a lot of Christmas carols. I'm going to have to start hunting for some of those Christmas carol channels, because they'll quit right after Christmas and it'll be back to business as usual, if you know what I mean. The scripture's kind of interesting. Bill, why didn't you read about Mary and Joseph? I mean, this is the season for the manger and the baby and all of that. And why did we read about Elizabeth and Zechariah? Oh, my fault, I say. Pass the buck, Bill. That's the lectionary for today. Why would that be the case? It's an amazing thing. Because we need to just think a minute about amazing things. Think about Mary, this young, affianced woman. And the angel comes to her and says, "You're pregnant." How would that feel? I'll tell you what, it would be an amazing thing. Mary, God bless her little heart. She sings her Magnificat, her song of praise to God, that she is chosen to bear the child. What an amazing... She trusts the angel. She trusts the work of God. And then Mary tells Joseph, and Joseph must have loved her dearly. In that day and age, if a woman became pregnant out of wedlock, if a woman committed adultery, death was the penalty. And Joseph could have called it. So he resolved to divorce her quietly to save her life. He loved that woman. His love is amazing. Intriguingly, we don't know much about Joseph after their return from Egypt. You recall they fled to Egypt so that Herod couldn't get to Jesus. After his return, we don't see Joseph anymore. By the time Jesus is born, is grown up in his first miracle at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, Joseph is not present, so we don't know what happened to him. But what an amazing man. Your wife comes to you and says, "Honey, I'm pregnant. It's not yours." What do you think, guys? And she says, an angel said it's the angel's baby. And he believes and he trusts. And the angel comes to him and instead of divorcing, he says, "No, Mary, let her be your betrothed and raise the child." And he trusts the angel. That's an amazing thing. That trust, the love, all that's happening there. We sometimes discount that awesome family that was there. We want to talk about trust a little bit. I want to think about that. I want to back up. Let's back up in our Bible. Let's back all the way up to Abram and Sarai. Do you remember them? Abram is renamed Abraham. Sarai is renamed Sarah. They were living there, living the dream, living in the same place that their grandparents and their great-grandparents and all their generations had lived. They had a nice life. It was easy going. Everything was wonderful. And God comes to Abram and says, "Let's take a walkabout, mate." That's not in the Bible quite that way, but you can't put accents in quite as the same. "I'm going to take you somewhere, Abram, and the place I'm calling you, a promised land, and I will show you the place I'm taking you." How many of you are ready to do that if God came up to you and said, "Pack up, we're moving"? I struggle to do that when the bishop calls me. I mean, it's an... And they do, and they travel. And they are elderly. They're old. And childless. Childless. Sarai has not borne a child to Abram, and so she goes to her handmaiden Hagar and says, "Have a child with Hagar so at least you have some descendants." God has told Abram, he says, "Your descendants shall be like the stars in the heaven," and he renames him Abraham. And he says, Sarai will no longer be called Sarai, but called Sarah. And your descendants, but they're childless and they're scratching their head. And so Hagar has a child with Abraham named Ishmael. Well, then there's these three men. They're out there one day, and there's these three men that show up on the hill. And Abraham does something that is important to us to remember. He does the right thing. He runs to them and welcomes them and offers them hospitality. Remember how important that is and how important it is to us. And in this day and age, it may be even more important, and we need to think about that, but that's another sermon. Stay tuned. From there, the hospitality he orders, offers them, the angels bless Sarah with a child. And she laughs, or Abraham laughs, depends on which scripture you read. And Isaac means they laughed. And the child Isaac is born now. So Abraham has two sons, Ishmael, the firstborn with Hagar. Second with Sarah is Isaac. Well, something goes amiss. Hagar is insubordinate to her mistress. And apparently Ishmael was rude to Isaac. Don't know all of the details. It's not very well fleshed out. But Sarah ultimately says, get rid of the slave woman and her son. Abraham is grieved. He is just, this is flesh of his flesh, this son, Ishmael. But he is struggling with what to do. And God says, I got it handled, buddy. You go ahead and take her. I'll take care of the child and of the mother. Do as Sarah guides you to do. And Abraham trusts. Takes them, gives her a skin of water, and takes them into the desert and leaves them there. And they are prepared to perish. They search for water, and there's some other stories in the Quran about what happens there. But nonetheless, an angel comes and takes care of them, and they go off and they prosper. So now there's the two sons, the firstborn Ishmael, the secondborn with Sarah, Isaac. Out of Isaac's family will become the 12 tribes of Israel. Out of Ishmael's family will come the 12 princes of Muslim. Did you know we were that related? I mean, we're kissing cousins. Think about how we can be about being a people gathered together. And the trust that came, and the trust that was required. Did you want me to read the names of the 12 tribes of Israel? I have them written here, just in case you, anybody really need to hear them all? No, okay. All right. Those of you who are interested in extra credit for this morning could do a small paper. There were 12 sons born as the 12 tribes, but there was at least one daughter. Where are the other daughters? What are their names? And how come they didn't get tribes? So, there's a little paper for you. What if we were able to do that trust between Christians and Muslims? I think most of us can. I think it's extremists. I think it's some politics. I think there's some other things that get in the way. But you know what? We're going to need to be the light of the world. We're going to need to be the ones that step up. I'm sorry, I'm off task. Let me come back. The story's about Elizabeth and Zechariah. You heard Bill read it this morning. Zechariah of the family of Abijah. They are very elderly. It said he was old and she was getting on in years. I think that was a polite way of saying she was older than dirt too. But you don't say that to your spouse, do you? We're getting on in years, dear. They're quite old and they have no progeny. They have no children. I don't know how this whole thing worked with the priests, and there must have been hundreds of priests, and they draw one by lot, and that one is the one who burns incense that day, and it is Zechariah's day to do that. And inside the temple there, standing next to the altar, is an angel. Isn't it Gabriel again? This Gabriel guy gets around. You're going to have children. He's terrified. He's terrified to begin with, but it would be even more terrified when he realizes that his ripe old age, he's going to have a baby. All right, women, at your ripe old age, you're going to have a baby. How many of you are terrified? Men, ripe old age, yeah, it would terrify me. I'll tell you what. I'm worried about becoming a grandparent. I don't know that I can keep up. And because he doubts, because he questions Gabriel strikes him mute. He will not be able to speak. But Elizabeth shall bear you a son, he says. You're on. And this is when it comes to this interesting moment. For reason, here's another chance for you to get some extra credit. For some reason, Elizabeth hides her pregnancy for the first 5 months. I don't know what that's about. It's an intriguing piece, but for 5 months, no one is aware. But Mary becomes pregnant with Jesus and goes to visit her relative, Elizabeth.
And as they do so, Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. You understand? Mary is pregnant with Jesus. And as Mary and Jesus in the womb come in, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps with excitement, acknowledging them present.
I just love that piece. I think that's awesome.
Think about that a minute. Think about what that means. You see, it's foreshadowing. It's divine direction. It's all the connectedness. And it's the neat way that God makes everything fit together so perfectly, because, you see, Elijah has to come before the Messiah can return. And John the Baptist, Jesus will say he is Elijah. And Elijah will make a path for the Lord. He begins that ministry. He can't drink wine. He can't do all of those things. He's a Nazarite. It's a special person held apart for special ministry. And he builds this entire religious gathering that begins and that Jesus becomes a part of and then leads when John is imprisoned. They are connected. And John makes a path for Jesus, and then Jesus proceeds. But all about trust. All about trusting God's direction, God's leadership, God's taking care of us. We have those concerns, don't we? I don't know about you, but in my life I turn around and think, well, what happens if this goes wrong? What happens if I were to lose my voice? It would be hard to do my job without a voice. What if something else happened? And we have to back up and we have to trust, don't we?
So trust is a piece of it. The candle we lit today, shall we call it peace?
Shall we call it love? Maybe we should call it trust. And trust has to do with faith, does it not?
There is another little piece that's kind of fun. These people from the Far East, these scientists.
We call them magi. They were not magicians. In fact, they would have been deeply insulted to be called magicians. But they are astronomers, and they notice signs in the heavens, and they see a star, and they follow the star, and they come and acknowledge the Christ. They trust and they believe and they show the way. Trust.
So here we sit. We sit, and this is one of the most unsettled times in our recent history. Politically, it's unsettled. Jurisdictionally, it's unsettled. Our church is unsettled. Churches are changing. Things that were... I was talking yesterday with a fella. He says, whatever happened to Boy Scouts? We used to have Boy Scouts troops and scouts and everything. And he said, it doesn't work anymore. Things are different. There's change all around us. And it's unsettling.
Out of that change, there is possibility.
And if we are about trust and faith, and if we are about being the light of the world, following the light of the world, Jesus Christ, I have hope. I have great hope.
May we trust and obey.
Amen.